Chapter 10, Merlin's Gift. When Sir Leo heard that Arthur wanted to build his castle at Camelot, he was delighted. He wouldn't even let Arthur pay him for the land. Arthur didn't know very much about building castles, and he soon found out that he knew even less than he thought. He had to speak to stonemasons and carpenters who used words that he didn't understand, but he nodded as though he did. It would take months before the building was finished, and Arthur had to live somewhere in the meantime, so he accepted Sir Leo's invitation to stay in his castle. This meant spending a lot of time with Guinevere, and Arthur noticed how the hours sped by when he was with her. What with castle building and making a list of names for the Knights of the Round Table, Arthur wasn't aware of the passing of months, until suddenly it was Christmas. The hall of Sir Leo's castle was hung with branches of holly and pine, and there was a lot of feasting and dancing. Arthur was too clumsy to be a good dancer, but Guinevere was wonderful. At least, so Arthur thought so. When she danced, he couldn't look at anyone but her, and every night he saw her dancing in his dreams. Late one afternoon, Arthur was alone in the library. He was pretending to be working on the list of knights, but he was really thinking about Guinevere. She was so much in his thoughts that when he looked up and saw her standing before him, for a moment he couldn't tell if she was real. "You look serious, Lord King," Guinevere said. "Don't call me that," said Arthur. "It makes me think that you're talking to my crown, not me. Sometimes I wish I wasn't a king. Then things might be easier." "What things?" asked Guinevere. "I've been happy here with you and your father," Arthur said. "When Camelot is finished, there won't be time for us to go riding or share jokes together. I won't be able to see you as often. And that makes me sad."
"Makes me sad too," said Guinevere.
Arthur made a face. "Why should being a king make me sad all the time?" he grumbled.
"You're not sad, you're just feeling sorry for yourself," said Guinevere.
"It isn't fair," Arthur cried. "If I want to be with you and you want to be with me, then..." "Yes," said Guinevere. "Then we should get married," Arthur said in a rush. It was dusk now. Guinevere's eyes were still shining in the shadows.
"Could we?" he said. "I mean, do you want to be queen?"
"No," said Guinevere.
"But I want to be your wife."
"You mean yes," said Arthur.
"Yes," said Guinevere.
Arthur was so excited that he jumped up out of his chair. Should I kiss you now or something?" he said.
"I think that would be a good idea," Guinevere smiled.
Next morning, Arthur and Guinevere rode to Camelot. The castle was almost finished, and they walked in the great hall together, their voices echoing in the rafters above their heads.
"Where will the round table be?" said Guinevere.
Arthur stood in the centre of the hall and held out his arms. "Here," he said, "we'll sit round the table as equals, face to face, and make decisions together." As he spoke, something happened to the light and the shadows at the far end of the hall, and Merlin was there. He looked thinner and more tired than the last time Arthur had seen him.
"Great things will be done here," said Merlin. "Sad things too. And because of them, the name of Camelot will last forever."
He raised his hand and light came out of it. The light twisted and curled and became a dragon whose red gold wings stretched from wall to wall. The dragon circled slowly at first, then faster and faster, until it touched the tip of its nose against the tip of its tail to form a ring of red light. The ring sank to the floor and vanished. A round table stood where the light had been. A red dragon had been painted in the centre, and spreading out from the dragon like the spokes of a wheel were lines that divided the table up into 100 equal parts. There were some names written around the edge of the table in golden letters. "King Arthur, Queen Guinevere, Sir Gawain, Sir Kay, all the names on my list are here," Arthur cried.
"Other knights will come," said Merlin.
"When they take their places, their names will appear on the table with the others. This is my wedding gift to you, my last gift. My time in your story is over, and my magic, and I must rest." Merlin turned away from Arthur and Guinevere, and walked back towards the shadows.
"Great things and sad things," he said.
"Remember." And he was gone, leaving Arthur and Guinevere alone in the great hall of Camelot with a round table between them.